flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are just 3 days away now from the big event in New Orleans, Caesars Superdome, NFL finale, Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs taking it on for the Lombardi Trophy. Looking forward to that action, and you can hear it all on WWL. All week long we've had it, and we'll have the game for you on Sunday as well. Me and Mike Dottiglia were here a little earlier today and got hit by a storm. The quiet storm.
Woo!
Saints legend Marcus Colston stopped by and joined us on the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. And here's what the Marcus Colston had to say.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Mike Dottiglia, now welcoming in now Saints Super Bowl champ Marcus Colston. How you doing? Thanks so much for stopping by.
I appreciate you guys having me, man. I'm doing well.
What's it been like being in the city come Super Bowl time right now? I know that everything is a buzzin'. What you been up to?
I've just kind of been working... Just working. So I'm down here really on business, but it's always good to be back in the city. A little busier than I'm used to, but it's, this is where Super Bowl's supposed to be.
A lot more hectic right now. Absolutely. For sure.
Marcus, about your career, man, and to think about how it started for you, and you come in here at the end of the draft, and you became one of the signature players for this football team, and in a great run for the Saints, too. It was the golden age of the Saints. What kind of put it that way for you to look back and to see what you guys did in that time frame?
I think with this much time to really, like, reflect on it, I think it's really seeing how far we came. You know, we all came together in 2006, and a lot of us, you know, myself included, I was in survival mode. I was just trying to make a roster. And, you know, I think a lot of us kind of came together, that core group, Drew coming off his injury and you know, our draft class coming together. We built a culture that was really built on grit and survival. We started at Millsaps with those.
And that was some rough days in Mississippi.
Yeah, man, it was crazy training camps. But I think, you know, when you go through stuff like that, it bonds you as a team. And I think... That core group, we had a greater why that was kind of forged in those tough times, and then obviously playing in this city and understanding, you know, the impact is much greater than wins and losses. I think that unique combination allowed us to kind of catch lightning in a bottle.
One of the things with Coach Payton, him and I talked about this, you were one of the first, what I call, big receivers to play in the slot. Okay, back then, that wasn't the case, but Sean was like, Mike, I'm looking for a mismatch. I'm looking for a mismatch downfield. And so he says, whatever you talk about, you got to say that Marcus was really one of the first guys as a tall receiver to play in that slot. And he said it was unique. It was to watch the corners or the third guy was like, what, I got to guard him? Because they're used to the small guy playing in the slot.
No, it's just the right place at the right time. The most interesting thing about that is I had never played in the slot in my entire career until I got here. Like, my whole college career, we played the spread offense. I was literally the left wideout for 4 years. Never played on the right side of the field, never played in the slot. So when I got down here, it was a whole new world that just opened up. And for him to have the insight to put me in there and allow me to kind of move around and create those mismatches. One, I didn't have a ton of bad habits to unlearn. But, it was just what makes him such an innovative play caller. He has a vision for you as a player, and he put me in really good positions, and it was just up to me to go make the plays.
I know you said you were in town on business. You got a lot of things going on, a big entrepreneur. What you got going on right now?
So I'm about a year into launching a sports investment firm.
Okay.
So we're down here meeting with some potential investors, meeting with some companies. And for me, it's exciting because I've been out of sports for a handful of years, doing some financial advising work and some executive coaching work. But to be back in sports, you know, being able to build franchises, build clubs, build technology companies within sports, it just gives me an opportunity to take a lot of what I've been doing the last 15 years at a bunch of these different places and kind of bring it all and drop it into this one platform and just having a lot of fun doing it.
Marcus, one of the things they don't teach us in school, how to manage your money. And that's so huge when you get to a certain level about money management.
No, it's everything. It's everything because, you know, so much of the media and so much of the focus is on what these guys make. But the ultimate, the ultimate measure is how much you keep. And, you know, for a lot of us, we don't come from wealth and we don't come from situations where, we don't have that in our DNA. So a lot of times we're first generation. And, you know, I think it's really important. And you started to see this wave towards veteran players reaching back and really helping younger players along. And I think, you know, it's super important to be able to kind of create that change from the inside out, because you understand not just the skill sets, you understand the person and you understand the circumstances that lead to the decision making. And it's just a huge opportunity to really be able to put this next generation in a good spot.
Give us a pick for the weekend.
That's where I was going.
Give us a
Sunday's
pick.
Game.
I know
what
you're
you
gonna
like?
Pick. I know you're gonna pick the Eagles. See, Geller's a Jersey guy. He got to pick the Eagles. Gotta do it.
Full disclosure, I'm a Jersey guy myself.
Exactly.
Not from there, but my wife's from there, so I'm a Jersey guy. I think what the Eagles have been doing just as an offense, they're playing throwback football. They've got a bunch of road graders up front. They've got a top tier running back, and you just don't see a lot of teams that are going to turn around and hand the ball off 30, 35 times. You just don't see it. And defenses don't have the personnel. They don't have the schemes. So I think, you know, there's a not so obvious mismatch with just the style of football that they play, and I think they'll end up kind of running away with this thing.
Appreciate the time, Marcus. What you think about, though, too, the offense with the Philadelphia Eagles and their coordinator, Kellen Moore, who's rumored to be the next head coach of the Saints?
I mean, he's been somebody that's been on the rise for the last handful of years. So I think if he ultimately is the pick down here, I think he's got a really good core group of players on offense. And I think just being the innovative play caller he is, I think it'll be a good fit down here.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate
Thank
the time.
You,
Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys.
That's Marcus Colson, Saints legend and Super Bowl champ, taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, now hitting the virtual treasure chest casino power seat, going to the Chiefs color analyst, Dannon Hughes. Thanks so much for the time. From one Jersey guy to another, appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be here, man. What exit?
I was all the way up in Vernon, New Jersey, by the Action Park Great Gorge area.
All right, cool. All right, I'm from Bayonne, 14A. Good to be amongst family, Jersey family. You know we always got to stick together.
Amen for that. Appreciate the time, like I said. And so how's your time been in New Orleans so far? You been enjoying the city at least?
Oh, so far so good. It's been a blast. The volume is starting to turn up right now. I was down at Radio Row earlier this week, and it was a little bit of a ghost town, not much, but then I went back today.
Oh, yeah.
And it was full board, everybody there, Stephen A. Smith and the Greenies. I mean, everybody that's anybody in sports was there today, as well as some current players and some actors and so on. So it was cool to kind of mix and mingle and walk around there. I had a couple of calls to make and some shows to do. So just trying to soak everything up, and then we'll dial it back in to get ready for this game on Sunday.
Before we start talking about the game and breaking it down, Dana, for people who don't know, you were a two-sport athlete that played at the highest level, not only pro football, but Major League Baseball. So, man, there's not a lot of guys that can say that.
Yeah, baseball is my first love, and you know, I was fortunate enough to be drafted in the third round by the Milwaukee Brewers and play a couple of years. And then the Chiefs came and drafted me and got an opportunity to spend 6 years in Kansas City. And I've been there ever since. And this is my fifth season in the booth as a color analyst. Four of those years, or this is the fourth Super Bowl that I'll be calling. So I've been spoiled. Definitely different than my playing days. Well, during my playing days, we couldn't even win a postseason game, and now that's all I know. So I'm definitely happy to be here, be a part of Chiefs Kingdom, and hopefully make history Sunday.
Dana, Deuce McAllister and I were talking about this, about on that fast track with Xavier Worthy and his speed, and that certainly is something very mindful the Eagles going to have to pay close attention to. But who has really not been heard a lot from, and Andy always does this. He flips a card that maybe a player who has not been a huge part of the offense all of a sudden becomes that. And we're talking about, could that be DeAndre Hopkins?
I definitely think so. If you look at the snap count for DeAndre Hopkins throughout this playoffs, it really hasn't been very high, which a lot of people wonder, was that on purpose because you're kind of holding him for this game? Could be. I think there are other guys like Noah Gray, Justin Watson, who have contributed at times during this season. Heck, Noah Gray had more touchdowns at the tight end position than Travis Kelce did this season. So, like, one thing we know about Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and this offense is that everybody is in play. And you got to figure out who's going to be the bright, shiny coin for this specific game. Think about going into the AFC Championship last week. Nobody would have picked Juju Smith-Schuster to have the two key catches that he did. And yet he was able, it was just part of the offense. It wasn't a gimmick play or anything like that. So I feel like, you're looking out for Xavier Worthy. You look out for Hollywood Brown. He can be a guy that, he's kind of got slowly indoctrinated into this offense after missing basically the entire season with the injury. But, like, pick your poison, because Patrick is one of those quarterbacks, and this is one of the unique things. When you hear Tom Brady, you hear stories about Tom Brady, you hear stories about Peyton Manning, where they would get upset with guys if they weren't on the same page and threaten not to throw them the ball, or X them out of an offense, or those guys getting cut or moved out of certain packages. Patrick is the exact opposite. He's like equal opportunity. As a former wide receiver, I would love to play for him, because I know that as long as I'm where I'm supposed to be, he's going to give me an opportunity. And that's what's kind of been the calling card for this team, is that it doesn't matter who you think you're going to try to guard. There's always going to be somebody else that can make some plays and make some noise. Travis Kelce, he's going to garner a lot of attention, justifiably so. Xavier Worthy, I'm sure they got packages for him and how they're going to try to move him off his spot, maybe be physical with him because he's a little slight in weight. But then who else are you going to guard? And by the way, there's no guarantee that those two guys would be the key components of this offense for this specific game. So I think that's what makes it kind of fun for me as a broadcaster to go into the booth, and I'm almost as oblivious as the rest of you guys on how the offense is going to work and how we're going to put points on the board.
The Philadelphia Eagles, the run game is definitely heavy talked about with them, but I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and Kareem Hunt's been the guy, but what's up with Isaiah Pacheco? I know in the playoffs his role's really been more limited. Could we expect to maybe see more of him in the Super Bowl?
There might be. I think what we've seen is a definition of guys and roles for the Chiefs. And every year, if you look at this run, not just this potential three-peat run, but just these 7 years of Patrick Mahomes and going to or winning the AFC Championship in every year, you can almost look at a different identity for each season and each team. And this year, especially when Isaiah Pacheco went down, Hollywood Brown went down, Rashee Rice went down, Sky Moore went down. Like, we had such a bevy of injuries that when the guys came in, you were able to get Kareem Hunt off of his couch. You're able to get DeAndre Hopkins from a team that he didn't want to be at and they didn't want him. And you're able to plug and play guys. As the season unfolded, you started to see guys with defined roles. Like, Kareem Hunt is going to be the guy coming away from the end zone and going into the end zone. And during the four-minute offense, if we need to seal the game at the end and run the ball, he's going to be that guy. In between the 20s, you can see Isaiah Pacheco on the field, which gives him an opportunity for more home run plays because Kareem has been that kind of thumper in between the tackles and the goal zone threat, red zone threat. So I just think that that's the impressive part, is that as many weapons as we have guys that fit into specific roles. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine as whether Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the guy that's going to make noise in his Super Bowl like he's done in the past.
One of the things, too, is the experience. Man, I think of Steve Spagnuolo in all these big games, and he's the only defensive coordinator in the history of the National Football League to coach as a defensive coordinator on two different winning teams, the Giants he was with and now with the Chiefs. And every week there seems to be a new little wrinkle defensively with him. He throws you something, and we saw it. And I heard Tom Brady talking about it, the wrinkle of the corner blitz. That's something you don't see a lot of in the NFL. And he kind of saved that for that fourth down play against Buffalo to get after Josh Allen. Crazy part about it is Josh actually put one up there that Kincaid could have caught. I mean, it went right through his hands. But it really was affected the initial kind of shot at it because of that corner blitz.
Yeah, I think one thing about Steve Spagnuolo and what he draws up, whether it's him defeating Tom Brady in the Super Bowls or being a part of this great run here with Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, is that in any blitz package, you're rolling the dice. You are rolling dice in some form or fashion, whether it's a shallow cross, a deep route, a crossing route, a mismatch on the outside, whatever it is, you're sending one more guy than they have to block, and you're hoping that somebody gets home before the quarterback finds where that one outlet is. And we've been so fortunate that he's been able to draw up these different defenses. And also got to give credit to our defensive backs, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, all physical corners. You know, they may not be the lockdown corners or the picturesque that you think is a lockdown corner outside of Trent McDuffie, but these guys, they bring the funk. They are one of the best teams at defending bubble screens because they attack the line of scrimmage, and that opens the door. If they're comfortable in space on the perimeter, attacking the line of scrimmage, one-on-ones and bubble screens, et cetera, that's where the door opens for them to be able to attack the quarterback in the blitz game. And anytime you're short, not even just short side of the field, but you could be wide side of the field and somebody can come off the edge. Joshua Williams had a big sack against C.J. Stroud in the divisional round. Trent McDuffie applied the pressure on that final play by Josh Allen. We've seen that time and time again. Go back to Legarius Sneed in past years as well. So the door... Sorry about that noise. The door is open for any and any way that this defense can apply pressure and confuse quarterbacks. And all they're trying to do is create a hiccup, create a hesitation. And if they can do that, that's where you start to see George Karlaftis and Chris Jones make the noise in the backfield as well. So it's a complete effort by this defense. It's fun to watch. Probably not fun for opposing offenses, but I get a kick out of it.
One of the other things, too, is look at the offensive line. They moved Joe Tunney over. Okay, he was an interior player. Moved him over to the tackle spot. And, man, Joe has done a really good job at that tackle position. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I sort of wondered, you know, when you first started hearing about it, how well he would adapt, because he was always an interior guy. And to put him out at tackle, you out on an island a lot with this deal. That has really worked out tremendously well for the Chiefs' offensive line. That may have kind of softened up inside because he's not there. But, boy, did it fill a huge spot at that tackle spot.
Well, it's huge because you're not just talking about moving a guard out to tackle. You're talking about moving a guard out to left tackle with the blind side of the quarterback. And you guys know better than me how important that position is. and the fact that Joe's been able to move out there and really not miss a beat, like literally not miss a beat. And we're not talking about going up against preseason scrubs that are not going to make the team. He's had to face Will Anderson Jr. and Daniil Hunter twice, two different games. He had to face, you know, Greg Rousseau and Epinesa in the AFC Championship. He had to go against T.J. Watt and that dominant pass rush of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, it's not been any kind of no-names defenses that he's had to face out at that left tackle, and he has been one of the top, in these recent weeks, one of the top tackles in the game. So, like, give him credit where it's due is a guy not only being able to make the necessary adjustment, but make the necessary adjustment against top-shelf pass rushes. And they recognize, hey, that there's blood in the water. They smelled blood in the water, and he was able to stifle those guys at an incredible clip. So I don't think anything – I think every year, whatever team wins a championship, whether it's Major League Baseball or NBA basketball, NHL, or obviously the NFL, there's always storylines that you'll take away from the entire season and specifically that championship game. And I think Joe Tooney is probably at the top. I don't think we're here unless, one, he's willing to move to the left tackle. Andy Reid is willing to stick with him at the left tackle, and he's played at the clip that he's played. I don't think we're here knocking on the door of a three-peat without his efforts.
Dana, I know I get old in this business. Every time I took a look at my grandchildren, I don't need to even look in the mirror anymore, but I scouted John Ault when he came out of Iowa. His son, Joe, was an early first-round pick a year ago.
Yeah.
But he's sort of the unsung guy. And you know, he played that position for a long time at the tackle position. Great teacher of technique. But what John Ault has meant to the Kansas City Chiefs, not only was he a very good football player, but he's turned out to be a terrific offensive line coach also.
Oh, yeah. John Ault, cream of the crop, salt of the earth guy. Obviously being a former Hawkeye, I've known him, played with him. A man of very, very minimal words. You know, you don't get to hear much from John Ault, but back when I played with him, he definitely spoke with his hands and his shoulder pads a lot. And the fact that he's raised a son that became a first-round pick that's going to be one of the more dominant forces on the offensive line for the Chargers for years to come, very impressive indeed. I can't say enough about the quality of man that John Ault is. He's on the Ring of Honor for the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the great offensive linemen, the many great offensive linemen that came out of the University of Iowa. And it's always cool. It makes me feel old, too, when you start to see guys that you played with and their sons are now in games that you're calling. So I know these gray hairs are here for a reason, but time has definitely flown by.
Luke Lachey, I'm going to ask you about him, tight end at Iowa, because he's a guy, Iowa has poured out so many tight ends. And you've got to do a lot of Big Ten games, and certainly with Iowa. And he's a guy, man, I hate to say this, man, I scouted his dad, Jim, when he came out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
And he was a terrific, terrific left tackle in the National Football League. A little bit about what you've seen from Luke Lachey at tight end.
I just think the versatility. Kirk Ferentz has done a great job. He gets a knock for some of the things, whether it's quarterback play or not being able to put up offensive numbers to the level of the defense. But he's been a winner. The Hawkeyes go to consistent bowl games, and they put out incredible talent at the tight end position. I mean, you can make an argument. I know back when I was coming up, tight end U was Penn State.
Yep.
Now tight end U, you can make an argument that it's Iowa. With all the talent, whether it's Hawkinson or LaPorta, you've got a host of fans. I mean, you just got guys after guys that have made great contributions from that tight end position. Heck, John Ault, not many people know, John Ault was recruited as a tight end, and that was one of the things that they used to do back in the day was recruit high school tight ends and then transition them to the tackle position. So that's where we are, that's where we've been, and hopefully we can surround them with some other talent at the wide receiver position and quarterback.
Dannon, great stuff. Definitely appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and have a fantastic call on Sunday.
Appreciate you guys. Go Chiefs.
Thank you, Dannon.
That was Dannon Hughes, the Chiefs color analyst. Action will be cranking up in the Caesars Superdome on Sunday, and got a little bit of a taste of what it looked like for media night, but I'm sure, you know, when the lights are all bright in there, it's really going to be a spectacle to see all the work they've put in.
And it's funny, you know, when I asked that to Lee about how Patrick Mahomes handles it, he's like, you know, he's calm about everything, and, you know, he goes through everything, and he's well prepared. He understands how this game's being played. He understands the game plan. But when he walks out on that field, you hear the electricity hit with
right.
him. His emotions take over at that point. And so, man, that's a great balance in sport. A lot of guys can't do that, Steve. They can't be that cerebral guy and, okay, everything's calm and I know everything. And when they get out on the field, you know, they can click it up.
Right.
That's a lot more difficult than you might think it is.
We're here at WWL's Radio Row Host Committee's Media Center, taking a break, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith & Sosa. Be right back with more on WWL after this. Team WWL is here at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row. It's all powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Getting ready for Sunday's prime time matchup. Season finale of this year, the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And, man, those Chiefs going for the three-peat. It's kind of unbelievable to think that no team has ever done that before in the NFL. And it's even, I feel like, it has to be harder nowadays considering the way the league
harder.
Is constructed. And
free agency.
Right, exactly.
It changed the world. And to think about, you know, the Packers won three, but they won the NFL championship and then won Super Bowls one and two. So they did win three in a row, but not three Super Bowls. And basically that Packers team, most of it that won the first one, were also part of the third one, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have a tremendous amount of change. You always have some change personnel-wise because guys get older, guys get hurt. But free agency has changed the world that we cover in sports, not only in football but in baseball, basketball. I know Charlie don't like to hear that because of what the Dodgers are doing, but it is reality check. There is that element there that kind of growing up, you know, late 60s and 70s, you didn't see any of that. And it trickled into the 80s. Hebert had a bunch to do with it because he took him to court and he actually got cash money. And I'm not talking about no Confederate money. I'm talking about real American dollars he got out of that when they took him to court, when he sat out that 1 year and basically opened the door for free agency for everybody. To see the consistency to get that three straight times, you know, and what Lee was saying also, look at the Bills four times and didn't win it. Didn't win it, but go four times.
And they still haven't gotten one.
Man, just think, if you're a Bills fan, how heartbreaking that was to get there and the excitement to get to Super Bowl Sunday. And, wasn't work. But they should have beat the Giants.
Yeah, they had a chance in one of them.
Scott Norwood missed that field goal. Yeah, and they should have won that game. But, you know, Phil Simms gets hurt, and so Jeff Hostetler takes over. And his story, so to speak. But what a great job to get Marv Levy to get those teams to four Super Bowls. It's remarkable. But you saw a similar thing, not Super Bowl-wise, but NFC Championship games with Andy Reid in Philly.
Right. That's why I mentioned the other day. It was always the bridesmaid, never the bride for Andy Reid. And unfortunately, yeah, his time came to an end in Philly. And he picked right back up in Kansas City. And man, oh, man.
That Mahomes guy kind of helped
a little
bit. Kind
of helps out, right, yeah. So happy for Andy Reid, though. Seems like a great guy. Never really got to have any kind of interaction with him.
Yeah, and, you know, all I know is from talking to people that have worked, well, we got three and sometimes four assistant coaches from the Chiefs that come to Louisiana Line Camp, Pete Jenkins Camp, every year. And all of them got Andy stories, every one. Now, Pete, too, because Pete was he's still sort of a consultant with the Chiefs because He's tight friends.
Pete's busy with everybody, I feel like.
Man, Pete's connected. I don't know. When he's going to stop is when he's going to take that last breath. But at 83 years old, to have that much energy and to work with so many different people, not only coaching but also players that will travel to Florida to work with Pete in sort of the backyard. Just to get his knowledge from a technique standpoint. Remarkable.
We are taking a break here on Sports Talk at the Morio Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. Be right back with more Sports Talk after the break here on WWL. Speaking of the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, you can join him and Mike Dottiglia at the Silver Slipper Casino for Big Game Saturday. Second guess.
You sure about that, Steve?
Yeah, you guys are going to be analyzing the teams, sizing up the players, having a good old time at the casino.
Luke's there, too.
So there you go. Luke also in action. Special edition second guess with the two Cajuns, Bobby, Mike, and we'll throw Luke in the mix, too, at the Silver Slipper Casino Saturday from 1 to 4 or till they get tired of talking here on WWL.
That might be a while.
I can imagine the sports book will be buzzing Saturday at the Slipper.
Yeah, we didn't go Monday because we had to do everything here, but it was the Monday after the championship game, and I walk in, and normally there's not a huge crowd because we're talking about this is like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
That day, they had a crowd. Everybody was looking. Prop bets.
Sure.
That was the deal.
Props and parlays. Everybody are like fiending for it.
And so,
they can't get enough.
Everybody's like writing stuff down on exact because it kind of shows up on the screens and everything. So, yeah, we have a good time. So, if you're in the area Saturday, come visit Bobby J and I, 1 to 4 at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi.
Taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we get back, we'll talk to Washington, D.C. sports reporter Kelsey Nicole Nelson. And you also hear from former offensive tackle Marshall Newhouse. Find out what he's up to and what he's thinking about the big game coming up on Sunday. Steve Geller, Mike Dottiglia taking a break. We'll be back with more right after news here on WWL. Who dat?